chapter 14. I read beginning at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither or where thou goest, and how can we know the way? My text is embodied in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. About 3,500 years before Christ, one of the greatest inventions that man ever made was made. I speak now of the simple wheel. Did you ever think where we might be today if it were not for wheels? Shortly after that, roads appeared, especially in Asia Minor and Europe. Two peoples are famous for their roads: the Jews and the Romans. In the land of Israel, there are two roads in particular that have great prominence. One is called the Nablus Road. It leads from Jerusalem northward to what we know in the Bible as Samaria. The modern name is Nablus. It is the same road. Of course, it has been paved and repaved, but it is over the same territory that Jesus went, according to John 4, when he said, I must needs go through Samaria. He traveled what we know as the road to Samaria. Then a second road in the Holy Land, leading from Jerusalem eastward down to the Dead Sea. The course of that road drops from 2,700 feet above sea level in Jerusalem to almost 1,300 feet below sea level in Jericho. It's the famous Jericho Road. It has been our privilege to travel both of them. Then the Romans have their roads, two in particular. One is known as the old Silk Trade Road that linked the city of Rome with China, 6,000 miles away. Then a road that is perhaps more familiar to more of you is the road that's mentioned in the New Testament, the Appian Way. A road that goes across Italy, connecting Rome with the various parts of the country. The Appian Road, or the Appian Way, was made famous by virtue of the fact that the Apostle Paul entered the city of Rome via the Appian Way. I want to talk to you this morning about another road. I call it the Royal Road to Heaven. I refer you back to my text in verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In the Latin, it is written, I am the via, that is the way, the veritas, that is the truth, and the vita, that is the life. No one but no one can make that statement but Jesus. I am the royal road to heaven. For Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are three things about the royal road to heaven that I would share with you today. First of all, the royal road to heaven is clearly marked in the Bible. Thank God for the Bible. Within this ample volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happiest they of human race to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born that read to doubt or read to scorn. I say again, thank God for the Bible. You see, the Bible is a product of the church. And the Bible is the story of God's love for all mankind. If you want to know where the gospel, the story of redeeming grace, can be found in a few words, all you have to do is turn to the third chapter of the Gospel according to John and read verse 16. For God, the creator, the judge of the universe, the great I am, God. Oh, this just thrills me to know that God would love us. For God so loved the world. And the Greek there is the oikoumene. We get our English word ecumenical from it, which means universal in scope. For God loved the whole inhabited world that he gave. What an act of mercy that he gave. Oh, it's one thing, you know, to get something you've worked for and labored for. But it's another thing to have someone give you something of which you're not deserving. That he gave his only begotten son. The only son that God begat. The only son of his loins, if you please. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, underscore that, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God for the Bible in a nutshell. The experience that took place in the Garden of Eden brought a blight upon the entire human race. No wonder Paul writes that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No wonder Paul writes there is none righteous, no, not one. No wonder Isaiah said all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It all happened in the Garden of Eden when man, Adam, the first man, disobeyed God and brought sin and death upon the whole human race. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Well, after that devil's dirtiest deal in the book of Genesis, a bright light is shining. It is the light of glory. It is the light of the coming of Messiah. It is the light of God. It is the light of grace. It is the light of eternal salvation through Christ. It is written in Genesis 3:15. God said to the serpent, the devil, the slanderer, the accuser of the brethren, "And I will put enmity between thee and between her, and between thy seed and her seed. And it, Christ, the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The first mention of Messiah coming into the world in the flesh is Genesis 3:15. And how grand and how glorious it is that the whole program of redemption is in that verse. For redemption is by the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross, bruising and being bruised in his own sacrifice upon the tree. And after that, so many types and so many symbols and so many illustrations and adumbrations of what was to come. And every lamb becomes a type of the Lamb of God, and every sacrifice becomes an illustration of the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. I'll have to go into the Old Testament and read about the sacrifices. And I'll have to go into the Old Testament and read about the lambs that were slain. Ah, but I know that the whole thing is terminated in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God for sinners slain. The prophets spoke of the way to heaven when they spoke of Christ. The royal road to heaven is clearly marked in the Bible. And Isaiah said 750 years before Christ was born in his 31st chapter at verse 20. "This is the way. Walk ye in it." The royal road to heaven is clearly marked in the Bible. Secondly, the royal road to heaven has no toll charge for those who wish to walk therein. Oh, I'm glad about that this morning. Oh, I've got a little money, but I couldn't buy my salvation. All of the gold in Fort Knox could not buy it. All the money that's represented by the Bears of Wall Street could not buy it. It is a priceless thing. The road that is made royal by Christ has no toll and no taxes and not even a token to get on it. Now there are roads all around us that they call toll roads. For example, the turnpike that connects the two great metropolitan areas of Fort Worth and Dallas. If you get on it in the heart of Fort Worth and go to the heart of Dallas, 60 cents. Toll road. Charges. Then around our city are highways they call expressways and freeways. And the reason they're called freeways is because people think they're riding them free. But they've already paid the tax dollar that laid the concrete and erected the steel. It's not a freeway at all. But the royal road to heaven is free. It's paved in the blood of Christ. It has a free access. And all the charges have been paid in advance. The poet put it this way. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. It's free. Now wait a minute. I didn't say salvation is cheap. It's free, beloved, but it is not cheap. Because it cost God everything that he ever had. If I were to come into this congregation this morning and I would say, "Daddy, I want your son. Daddy, I want your son. Daddy, I want your son. And I want to offer him as a sacrifice for sin. If you would be daring and bold enough to do so, that would be the greatest sacrifice that you could ever make. For you see, the son, pardon the colloquial language, the son is the spitting image of the father. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these latter days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Just like God. God gave himself when he gave his Son. After he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God gave in advance the premium, the price that was paid for your redemption. Don't ever look upon it as cheap, because it isn't. It cost God everything that he had. The royal road to heaven, as far as you're concerned, is toll free. I'm glad salvation's free. I'm glad salvation's free. Salvation's free for you and me. I'm glad salvation is free. In the third place, I would say to you that the royal road to heaven is the only road to heaven. Many people have tried to get to heaven by their own roads. Some have tried the road of church membership. It has a dead end. Some have tried the road of baptism. It has a dead end. Some have tried the road of learning the catechisms. Dead end. Some have tried the road of philosophy. Confusion and chaos reigns as a result. Some have tried the road of education. Some have tried the road of religion. Beloved, the royal road is the only road. There is but one ladder that can reach heaven, and it's in the form of a cross. Jesus said, I am the way. There is no salvation apart from him. Jesus did not say, I am one of the breads of life, as though there were many breads. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus did not say, I am one of the lights of the world, as though there were many lights. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus did not say, I am one of the vines, as though there were many vines that had life in them. Jesus said, I am the vine. Jesus did not say, I am one of the resurrections, as though there were many resurrections. But Jesus, our Lord, said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Jesus did not say, I am one of the doors, as though there were many doors. Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus did not say, I am one of the ways, as if there might be more than one way. Jesus said, I am the way. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter did not say in Acts 4:12 that salvation was in the name of many people. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm quick to remind you today, there is no salvation in the name Baptist. There's no salvation in the name Methodist or Presbyterian or Lutheran or Catholic or any other name save the name of Christ. There is no salvation in the name Mohammed. There is no salvation in Buddha. There's no salvation in Confucius. There is salvation in Christ and Him alone. When He was born, they said, His name shall be called Jehovah Hoshea. We call it Jesus, the God of salvation. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow can take a worthless piece of paper and write a few lines of poetry on it, and it's worth $10,000. And that's called genius. John D. Rockefeller can sign his name to a piece of paper, and it's worth millions. And they call that capital. Henry Ford can take manufactured parts and put them together in the proper perspective and turn out a finished product and make profit on it. They call that skill. Picasso can take a worthless canvas and paint a picture on it, and it's worth $1 million. And they call that art. But you know, my God can take a worthless, wretched, hell-bound, hell-deserving, hopeless, undone sinner and wash him in the blood of Jesus and make him a child of heaven. And they call that salvation. Amen. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Joining the church will not save you. Doing the best you can will not save you. Being baptized will not save you. Only Christ in His blood can save you. A few years ago, before the Skylab was ever launched, a space scientist by the name of Edward Lindemann made a speech. And in that speech, he predicted a space lab. We call it the Skylab. Mr. Lindemann said that the Skylab or Space Lab would eventually be composed of three compartments. One of them is to be an energy department. And Edward Lindemann shocked the scientific world when he predicted that before the space program is ended, automobiles would not need any energy to run on the road. That from the space lab, from outer space, a car would be energized from the sky lab. And all the car had to do was be on the road. Oh, what a beautiful picture of our salvation. Our spiritual energy comes from outer space, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy has He saved us. And all we've got to do is be on the road. We don't need any energy in ourselves. We don't need any battery. We don't need a starter. We don't need fuel. We don't need human energy. All we need to do is be on the road, and He'll take us home, because our energy comes from Him, the great Skylab scientist in heaven. No wonder Jesus said, I am the way, the road, the via, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm glad there's a way provided. And I'm glad it's provided freely through the grace of God and the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. This is the royal road to heaven. You're waiting for my footnote? Here it is, and I'm through. The royal road to heaven is open to everyone who wishes to enter thereupon. The Bible says, whosoever will. Doesn't say whosoever is educated. It doesn't say whosoever is learned. It doesn't say whosoever is rich, whosoever is elite, whosoever's climbed the social ladder or gone into the scientific field or in the fields of reasoning and philosophy and learning and religion. No, the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. You can get on the road today if you want to. It's open to all. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Let us stand for our prayer.